Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
So, over the weekend, a pizza place in Texas had to shut down after it was discovered that workers had been putting laxatives in the pizzas. In their defense, the workers of the pizza parlor said, well, they told us they wanted a pizza to go.
Oh, you can't make that stuff up.
What day is it?
Why do you ask?
Tuesdays are better.
Why is that, do you think?
Well, it's not Monday.
This is true.
Man, ain't that the truth.
I want to hear the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
I can handle the truth.
Okay, you asked for it.
It's just a regular Tuesday.
Tuesday.
Okay, then.
Let's get started.
Yeah. Showtime!
It is indeed. It's showtime here on Tuesday with yours truly in the air chair. The president, not to mention dean, of Insensitivity University, where our specialty is non-politically correct studies. Hey, you know what, Moneypenny? Your suggestion yesterday that I try some Flonase? My baby doll Brenda picked some up for me, and after being on the golfing course this morning and getting inundated with pollen, I came home and took a shower and put some Flonase in, and my voice sounds a bit better.
I can be right every once in a while.
Every once in a while, you know. Stop clock, for instance, is right twice a day. There you go. Here's how you join me and be a part of the conversation today. Ingalls Advantage talk line number, 800-347-1063. Common Sense Retirement Planning text line number, 71307. My email address remains, as always, bob@1063.com. President goes on a Twitter tear. I love it when he goes after these media yummies. Because, it, you know, they get their panties all in a wad. And I don't know, maybe because they're such narcissistic egoists, they feel flattered that the president mentions them in his tweets. I don't know. President Trump declaring today that the New York Times should, quote, get down on their knees and beg for forgiveness for its negative coverage of his presidency as part of an early morning Twitter tear against a range of media outlets. The president tweeting, and his tweet address, by the way, is @RealDonaldTrump. I wonder if the New York Times will apologize to me a second time, as they did after the 2016 election, but this one will have to be a far bigger and better apology. On this one, they will have to get down on their knees and beg for forgiveness. They are truly the enemy of the people. President also blasted Times opinion columnist Paul Krugman. You know, this guy is a Pulitzer Prize winning economist. He's as much of an economist as Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, whose latest op-ed, Krugman's latest op-ed, says, one of our two parties, the Republican Party, no longer believes in American values. Isn't it amazing how the left claims they're the patriots, the ones that implemented the coup against a duly elected president? They're the patriots. They're the ones that embrace American values. Oh, yeah? The column by Krugman criticizes the president and the results of the Russia investigation. Of course it does. He didn't get the result he was looking for. No collusion, no obstruction. Claiming the president was aware of intervention in his campaign by a hostile foreign power. That not only is an outright lie, it's the reverse of the truth. When the FBI and the DOJ started all this stuff, it would be a standard operating procedure for them to inform a campaign that a hostile foreign power was attempting to invade their campaign, to intervene in their campaign. Did the FBI do that? No. No, instead, they started an investigation into the Trump campaign. And Krugman continues, once in office, the president tried to obstruct any investigation into that fact. The president would have been perfectly within his legal rights as the chief executive of the United States to fire Robert Mueller anytime he wanted to. Robert Mueller was just another attorney for the DOJ. He didn't have any special superpowers. He wasn't from the League of Justice or whatever. The president did not fire Mueller. He let the investigation continue. And as the Attorney General, Bill Barr, said in his televised statement last week, was fully cooperative with the investigation. You going to mention that, Krugman? Another of the pencil neck geeks. The president tweeting, Paul Krugman of the fake news New York Times has lost all credibility, as has the Times itself, with his false and highly inaccurate writings on me. He is obsessed with hatred, just as others are obsessed with how stupid he is. He said the market would crash. Only record highs. The president also tweeting, the radical left Democrats, together with their leaders in the fake news media, have gone totally insane. I guess that means that the Republican agenda is working. Stay tuned for more. The president later tweeted, in the old days, if you were president and you had a good economy, you were basically immune from criticism. Remember, it's the economy, stupid. Today, I have, as president, perhaps the greatest economy in history, and to the mainstream media, it means nothing. But it will. President's Twitter rampage comes amid mounting criticism from Democrats following the release of Special Counsel Mueller's nearly 500-page Russia report last week, and you know why as well as I do. You know, CNN and MSNBC had been telling their rapt viewers for 2 years, this is it. Donald Trump has been painted into a corner. Donald Trump is at the end of his rope. Donald Trump is going to be frog-marched out of the White House and taken directly to jail. And following his imprisonment, will be impeached. Or something in that regard. And, of course, it didn't happen. Didn't happen. So what do? They say that Barr is nothing but a front man for President Trump. That's disgraceful, because I think Barr actually is one of the few people in Washington that actually still has some understanding of how things are supposed to work. The president continued tweeting, the best thing ever to happen to Twitter is Donald Trump at Maria Bartiromo. That's what she had tweeted. So true, but they don't treat me well as a Republican. Very discriminatory, hard for people to sign on. Constantly taking people off the list. Big complaints from many people. Different names, over 100 million. But should be much higher than that if Twitter wasn't playing their political games. No wonder Congress wants to get involved, and they should. Must be more and fairer companies to get out the word. Nice of the president to include our call letters in his tweet. Appreciate that. In on the text line, Bobby, that stopped clock Moneypenny mentioned is right with more frequency than CNN. No kidding. Glass of tea and Bobby Mack on the radio. Life is good. Thank you. Appreciate that. Sweet tea, I'm assuming. Quarter after three here in the Bobby Mack Show. We're just getting rolling here. You remember yesterday we told you about the two U.S. military members disarmed by Mexican military on our side of the border? Pentagon taking some heat over this. Have the latest coming up next here on the Bobby Mack Show.
McClain.
That's me. Check out the moves. Getting down. Then trying to get back up again. 22 after 3 here at the Bobby Mac Show, the greatest dancer of the bumper in the background. To the phones we go this afternoon, to the Ingles Advantage Talk Line, and Brother Fred, I understand, is standing by and ready to join us. We are always thrilled to hear from Brother Fred.
Excellent.
So let's bring him in. Hi, Brother Fred. I bet you are excited today.
Oh, praise God. I really am excited.
Excellent.
I've got good news. I'll be able to run in the Classic Seniors Monday and pursue my 6th first-place medal in the 50-meter dash.
Wow. Well, this is bad news for everybody else in the field, Brother Fred.
Well, these people with crutches and wheelchairs.
No.
My buddy said, don't tell them that you're so good. I've seen those guys down there. And, you know, a lot of my friends, they're really pulling my leg.
I bet they are. But they should not be suffering under the incorrect impression that you're racing against people who are using walkers and canes or something. These people are, well, they're in the, I don't know if they're the kind of shape that you're in, Brother Fred, but they certainly are physically equipped to be able to run, is it 50 meters or 50 yards?
50 meters.
50 meters. Gotcha.
Yes,
okay.
Sir. Yes, sir. But I'm excited, and I'm through with the pneumonia.
Excellent.
And through with the cancer, praise God. And I'm just excited and wanted to share, and I'll be the guest speaker at the awards banquet May the 1st.
Now, where is the race going to be held, Brother Fred?
It's going to be at Wade Hampton and track, and that's not at the high school. If you leave and come up Pine Knoll Drive.
Oh yeah, it's up there on the left, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Right.
And
right.
I just want to have a lot of respect for the lady, Miss Joni Dillard and her staff,
mm-hmm.
and it is a number one. They have worked and worked, and they have taken care of everything that you think would be possibly needed.
What is the organization that puts this on, Brother Fred? I don't know that I've ever asked you that.
That's the Greenville Recreation.
Oh, it is. It's the rec department.
Yes.
Yeah.
And like I say, it's your bond number one. I mean, I'll tell you. And they don't leave any stone unmoved because I'll tell you anything. They have some first aid people there.
Yep.
And
just in
like
case.
I say,
right.
And the track condition is wonderful. And I just appreciate you letting me talk to your friends and you. And I'm over the pneumonia.
That's good. That's good. You know, back in the day, Brother Fred, in high school, I was a sprinter as well.
Well, praise God. Now, I never ran. Now, when I played baseball at Arizona State, you know, we,
right?
You know, we ran.
Sure.
But not sprints, you know.
Yeah. I ran the 100 and the 220.
Oh, well, my hat's off to you because like I say, my buddy, Brian Lindsay at church, he put my name in several years ago, and I got application in the mail. I didn't know what was going on.
So you never volunteered in the first place. You were volunteered, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. That's like in the military, Brother Fred, where a volunteer is somebody who stands still while everyone around him is taking two steps backwards.
Yes, sir. I love it. Love it.
Well, but when is the race again, Brother Fred? Monday?
Monday, yes, sir.
Monday.
And they start at 10 o'clock, and I'll have the exact time when we run the 50 meters.
Right.
And then on May the 1st, down at the Greenville County Recreation.
Right.
we'll be having the awards dinner at 11:30.
Well, you're going to have so many gold medals there. You're gonna look like I don't know who's the you're going to look like Michael. Yeah, Michael Phelps, the Olympic swimmer. He's got more gold medals than he knows what to do with. He's got more gold than King Midas.
Well, I'm sorry that I misled you. they are first. They are medals and they're bronze.
Oh, they're bronze. Okay.
Yes, and they have the time that they've engraved on the back of the medal.
Nice. Well, they would need a calendar to time me these days, Brother Fred.
Well, I'm just excited that you had a good vacation and everything. And to my clients and everybody, I am not on vacation all the time. I'm still working.
No, he's Brother Fred is still out there plowing the fields. Brother Fred, best of luck to you in the race on Monday. You're our horse if you never win another race, Brother Fred. How's that?
Well, I'm going to accept that, praise God.
you take care, Brother Fred. It's always great to hear from you. It makes my day every time he calls. Andre is next up here on the Bobby Mack Show from Spartanburg. Hi, Andre, and welcome to the program.
Hello. Thank you for having me on air.
Yes, sir. My pleasure.
Get this. This is some confusion here.
Okay.
Let's say Congress passes the law, right?
Yes, they do.
Executive branch is supposed to follow that law, right?
That is correct.
Now, they have a bunch of different agencies under the executive branch.
Correct. Yeah, all the various government bureaucracies are under the aegis of the executive branch, of which President Trump is the chief executive.
Yeah, but here's the deal. Well, what the way they interpret the law and whatever decision they make, it's up to the executive branch. And when I called in some local office, legislator office,
right,
they told me that they may not help me because as if these people on the executive branch don't give back accounts or respond back why their decision was made this way.
What were you seeking help with, Andre?
It was just some decision that was made on part of the U.S. Embassy.
Oh, I gotcha. Okay. Yeah, so you needed to find out why the State Department had given you the ruling that they had or the interpretation that they had?
Yeah, and basically what they did is actually wrong because all the documents were provided, everything clear, like in your face.
Right.
And yet their decision was wrong. However, I was told that they don't give back accounts back to the same people that created the law.
I'm not sure what they meant by that, but I can tell you this. What you probably need to do is get in touch with your congressman. Are you in the 4th Congressional District in Spartanburg?
Yeah, I know him. We'll gonna talk about that.
Okay, well, Congressman Timmons is your congressman, and I would suggest that you talk to somebody in his office, and they can help you get an explanation of why they told you what they did, because I know that virtually all of our congressmen in South Carolina, at least the ones in the upstate, are very concerned with constituent service. And if you have a question, they'll do what they can to get you an answer. 3:30 here on the Bobby Mack Show. Patrick's ready to go in the news center next, and I'm right back on the other side. More on this business with the Pentagon now taking a look at their ROEs, their rules of engagement, after American troops were disarmed by members of the Mexican Army in Texas. Be right back. Welcome back. 3:37 now, 23 before 4 here, the Bobby Mack Show, the Tuesday, day before Threes Day edition. So this today from the National Sentinel. You may remember yesterday I told you about two U.S. military service members encountering troops from the Mexican Army on our side of the border and being disarmed by the Mexican troops. Well, as you might imagine, this is pretty much kick the hornet's nest. As we anticipated would happen, writes the National Sentinel, the Pentagon, no doubt at the behest of the White House, is reevaluating the rules of engagement for U.S. troops deployed along the southwest border after two soldiers were surrounded and disarmed by a small armed Mexican force north of the international boundary in Texas earlier this month. As reported earlier this week, in an incident that had troubling international implications, especially given the tension among Americans regarding illegal immigration, officials with U.S. Northern Command, NORTHCOM, said on Saturday that a squad of armed Mexican troops detained U.S. soldiers for a brief period earlier this month in Texas. NORTHCOM told CNN the incident happened in the afternoon of April 13th. The U.S. personnel were conducting routine surveillance. Quote, on April 13, 2019, at approximately 2 p.m. Central Time, five to six Mexican military personnel questioned two U.S. Army soldiers who were conducting border support operations in an unmarked Customs and Border Protection vehicle near the southwest border in the vicinity of Clint, Texas. NORTHCOM said in a statement, during the incident, the Mexican troops, all armed, ordered the two U.S. soldiers, a sergeant and a private, out of an unmarked vehicle. NORTHCOM said the Mexican soldiers pointed their weapons at U.S. troops and detained them for a period of time. Now, mind you, the demarcation line and border sectors are well known to both U.S. and Mexican military personnel, although we had a caller yesterday who was with the Border Patrol who said that in those areas you can be in one country or the other and have some question in your mind. According to the Washington Examiner, a senior defense official says the Pentagon is reviewing how U.S. soldiers responded during the incident this month in which Mexican troops detained and disarmed Americans on U.S. soil. The standoff between two U.S. soldiers and as many as six Mexican military officials on April 13th, believed to be the first of its kind, according to the senior defense official from NORTHCOM, this is the first incident that we're aware of that the two militaries came together, the official told the Washington Examiner. Notice how they always leave themselves a little bit of wiggle room, though. First incident that we're aware of. Okay. The two soldiers appear to be active duty Army, not National Guard, at least according to the reporting from Washington State. Active duty Army from Washington State. Reports said they were sitting in an unmarked CBP vehicle, Customs and Border Protection, when they were moved on by the Mexican troops. The Mexican soldiers were armed with standard-issue assault rifles. They confiscated one soldier's M9 Beretta sidearm for a time. Now the Pentagon is investigating the incident, which the official said will help us modify any instructions that we're giving the troops about how to deal with such a situation. Troops deployed to the U.S.-Mexico border go through joint readiness staging and training on how to handle dangerous situations in that area. No official protocol exists for how to navigate a run-in with a foreign military, but the senior official said the soldiers were trained to de-escalate the situation, which is exactly the word they used in describing the incident in previous stories that we shared with you. By surrendering at least one gun that was believed to be a sidearm, they followed existing protocol, though it left them unarmed. And it's a dangerous situation to find yourself. What if these guys were cartel? Dressed as a Mexican military. Think the cartel is not capable of finding Mexican military uniforms to put their people in? No doubt the Trump administration has already protested this encounter through diplomatic channels with the Mexican government. Oh, yeah, great. Send them an angry letter. No doubt that protocols going forward will change, especially if President Trump continues to order U.S. troops to the border in support of federal agents. American troops are likely to be more heavily armed in the future. Why weren't they more heavily armed now? Is there a more dangerous flashpoint than right there on our southwest border, and send two guys in there, and you got one sidearm? One guy's got a Beretta pistol? American troops are more likely to be heavily armed in the future and perhaps be assigned to sectors in numbers greater than two. Yeah, that would be an idea. Either way, the situation along the border is tense. No kidding. Mexican troops who regularly patrol the border are not used to seeing American troops opposite them, making it more likely, not less, that things could spiral out of control if another armed incident takes place. Well, nobody wants to see a war start with Mexico over somebody doing the wrong thing at the wrong time. By the same token, do we want to send a message of weakness to the Mexican government and to the rest of the world? That if they've got half a dozen troops and we've got two, they can surround our troops and disarm them and do whatever they want? What if they had taken them prisoner, taken them back to Mexico? Remember that Marine at, where was it, Tijuana? Who accidentally drove into Mexico with a firearm in his car, and they put him in prison for what, a year, 14 months? Before the State Department could work their way around to getting the guy out? It's a situation that is rife with going wrong in a hurry. In on the text line, which is actually not true. Wait a minute. I want to make sure I'm beginning at the beginning. Which is actually not true. Mexican troops have run interference for the drug and people smugglers for years. Would not surprise me in the least. Because corruption rules the day down there. What do they make in the Mexican military? Can they make a bit more on the side working with a cartel? Bobby, what were members of the Mexican military doing on our side of the border? Isn't that an act of war, a declaration of war? Bobby, don't feel bad that you would have to be timed with a calendar in a foot race. And I'm not as old as you, and they would have to use carbon 14 testing to be able to time me. Gotcha. Bob, our state senators couldn't paint by numbers correctly. I do have my doubts. Quarter before four here on the Bobby Mac Show. Quick break here, and then we're right back. And when we come back on the other side, we now know more about who is behind the Easter bombings in Sri Lanka. And as usual, it's a roundup, the usual suspects from the Religion of Peace. Be right back.
All right, then.
Welcome back. 10 before 4 here, the Bobby Mac Show, the Tuesday afternoon edition. So the terror attacks in Sri Lanka that, killed 50 worshipers at killed 321 people in Sri Lanka, apparently done in retaliation for the mosque shootings in New Zealand. Quote, the initial investigation has revealed that this was in retaliation for the New Zealand mosque attack, said a junior minister of the Sri Lankan government in addressing parliament. He was referring, of course, to the March 15th massacre of 50 worshippers at two mosques in Christchurch, New Zealand, by a white supremacist who live streamed it on Facebook. But wait a second. Wasn't this guy a lefty who intentionally used ARs? Because he wanted the weapons to be banned. And the guy apparently behind this, a radical Islamic cleric, big surprise. Over the past 3 years, Zahran Hashim, alternately known as Mohammed Zahran, has amassed an online following of thousands for his hate-filled online sermons, sometimes delivered before a banner depicting the Twin Towers that are composed of impassioned calls for all non-Muslims to be eliminated. Could there be a religion anywhere that would be more diametrically opposed to Christianity than Islam? convert or die. There's your choices. But despite reportedly being known to authorities, Hashim's videos, which have since been removed for violating YouTube terms, great. Nice job. You know, all these people are murdered, 320 people dead and over 500 wounded, and then YouTube removes his videos. Because they suddenly discovered they violated their terms. New unconfirmed reports not only pointing the finger at him for being one of the suicide bombers to strike the Shangri-La Hotel, but pegging him as the mastermind of the coordinated attacks, which have left more than 320 dead and over 500 wounded. Well, if he was one of the suicide bombers, he should have been wearing a vest. Would have solved a lot of problems for all of us. Oh, but it's his followers, you see, who are wearing the vests. Over the past 3 years, radical Islamic cleric Zahran Hashim, alternately known as Mohammed Zahran, amassed an online following of blah, blah, blah. A Sri Lankan police officer said ISIS, which was officially run out of its self-designated caliphate in Syria just weeks ago, also capitalized on the chance to insert itself into the narrative, according to MIMRA. That's an acronym standing for Middle East Media Research Institute. That's an ISIS media activist. And they say that an ISIS media activist used the encrypted messenger app Telegram this week to publish photographs of three armed Sri Lankan men posing in front of the trademark black ISIS flag, claiming that the men, now all dead, were the ones who carried out the bombings. Pictures of some of the brothers who carried out the attacks in Sri Lanka, may Allah accept them, the photo caption declared. One of the featured individuals is believed to be Hashim, described as a well-known preacher who has expressed ISIS sympathies in the past. So maybe this guy was one of the bombers? Quote, the ISIS claim of responsibility lends credence to the veracity of the assertion that the men depicted in the photographs were indeed among the perpetrators, Memory said in its threat report, highlighting that the ISIS media wing AMAQ, A-M-A-Q, also claimed responsibility. I guess everybody in radical jihad was rushing to claim responsibility because so many died. More than 30 members of Sri Lanka's minority Muslim population were documented to have fled abroad to fight with ISIS in Iraq and Syria in recent years. Well, good. Many of them are dead. A relative of a blast victim shown grieving in a morgue in Colombo. Sri Lankan authorities suspect there are international terror groups which are behind the local terrorists. Sri Lankan authorities suspect that there are international groups who are backing these people. Officials also said they believe the onslaught was in retaliation to the New Zealand mosque attack. Nonetheless, Hashim had developed a reputation as a preacher who copied ISIS propaganda videos with his animated and vehement postings, which has long espoused vocal support for the world's most dangerous terrorist brand. The pro-ISIS Al Guraba media channel in Sri Lanka, which operated across Facebook and YouTube as its primary platforms, reportedly featured his inflammatory videos. So Facebook had his stuff on there too. So pro-life groups that want to put an Easter message on Facebook, forget it. But this wacko ISIS encouraged radical jihadist has no trouble getting his terroristic threats on Facebook and YouTube. The videos often advocated the notion that only Muslims are acceptable rulers, and he routinely railed against Christians, Buddhists, and Hindus. What? He left out Jews. I'm sure this guy railed against everybody. Well, let's hope he managed to blow himself up in this attack. Good luck with those however many virgins it is you're expecting. Hour number one of the Bobby Mack Show, grinding to a halt, but stand by because hour two is gearing up. next.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.